You know, it's funny. Over the years, I've been doing this 26 years, there are certain people that you come across in different places in America, that, and you don't know why, but you make eye contact and you kind of look at each other, and you, it's like a dog that hears a funny noise and go, "Hey, it's that guy." And one of those guys is actually sitting right next to me right now. The one and only Slash joins us here on KDKB. Welcome to the Valley, brother.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Always good to see you. Now,
good to see you, too.
Let's start this... Let's start this thing off right. I told you I was going to bring this up off the air. 12 years ago, you and I are in New Orleans, and you told me, and I remember the words coming out of your mouth, "I'm not exactly a solo artist per se."
Right.
And lo and behold, 12 years later, you have changed and released an amazing solo record with a variety of talented people. What changed to make you to go from the Snake Pit band organization thing to doing your own thing solo?
I got to that point where I really felt like I needed to do something on my own without right. anybody looking over my shoulder, without having to answer to anybody, and making all my decisions in situations where normally it's a group decision.
Yeah.
And just sort of see what happens.
And what makes this different than the Snake Pit thing? The Snake Pit thing was pretty much your outfit, right?
Yeah, it was sort of, it was driven by me, but it was still a band venture. You know, like the first one was Matt and Mike Inez and Eric Dover and myself, you know, and Gilby Clark, and that was treated very much like a diplomatic band kind of a thing. And then the second one was even more so. So this was a chance for me just to hire a couple guys, really good musicians, Joss Fries and Chris Cheney, and just write all the songs, make up whatever I felt like doing, and just do it.
You're one of those guys that has the sort of the cachet. You can pretty much call anybody and they'll play on your record, right? You're at that point now?
A lot of people think that, but there's a lot of mutual respect and a lot of favors back and forth. I mean, I couldn't have made this particular record any time sooner than when I did, because I had to collect a lot of goodwill along the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that mean you...
It's not because I'm just cool, you know.
Can you hook a brother up with a favor?
I play on other people's records, and a lot of those people that are on my record I'm good friends with, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Who have you wanted to make a record with but you couldn't make it happen?
You know, everybody asks that question. It's not like that. It's just situations happen where musicians get together and we talk music, and if you have if you respect that other person's work and you have a mutual thing going, then you say, "Hey, you want to do something?" But it's never a pre-planned thing like I'm going waiting around until I meet so-and-so so I can play in their record. It doesn't have that much forethought.
Lest anybody think Slash be unintelligent in any way, shape, or form, brilliance telling Fergie that we had to make a video for Beautiful Dangerous. That was just, I mean, on the list of cool ideas, good ideas that you've had in your career, that may be the greatest idea after seeing that video.
Yeah, that was fun.
Is a nice euphemism.
Well, I mean, I know you look at it from one point of view, but I mean, she's cool, and we had a good time making it just because we're good friends. Yeah.
She's also really talented.
A lot of fun. She's actually a lot more rock and roll in personality than you would probably imagine from her sort of image in the Black Eyed Peas. She's very tough as nails kind of thing.
Did you get any heat for actually having Fergie sing on a record? Because, you know, everybody thinks Slash. They all think Slash. You've got this image of being this rock guy, and obviously Ozzy and Ian Asprey and all that stuff sort of fits in with what Slash is. But then Fergie comes out and...
Well, I think initially when the rumor was out that I was working with Fergie, that's when I got the most flack, because people had this image in their head of digital something or pop music or whatever. But I had worked with her live in a situation where I got to hear her sing some rock and roll stuff, and she just blew my mind. She's just got a certain kind of attitude and swagger that a lot of chicks don't have. And so from that point on, I established that she's a badass singer. When I was making my record, I needed a female singer for that song, and I just automatically thought of her. So when the record came out, everybody was like, "Oh," they got it. But before that, everybody was a little concerned. I might have gone, you know, top 40 or something.
Let's turn the clock back like 25, 30 years. You're coming up, doing your thing. You go to clubs. You see X band, Y band, Z band, all these bands that like got you off. Now, 20-something years later, you've got people coming to you, and you're like that. Do you notice that sort of same look in people's eyes, almost like the Jukebox Hero song, where you see those kids that light up for what you're doing now that it's all you up front?
Not so much just because I'm up front, but, you know, like ever since the late 80s, there was that certain thing where kids look at, you know, I remember growing up and looking at rock and roll bands and thinking that's the coolest thing in the world. And then when we were you know, getting established as far as Guns was concerned, then kids coming down to shows, that pretty much from that point on, you start to realize that there's that synergy that you have with fans, because they look at you the way that you looked at rock bands. And I'm sort of a fan that never really grew up, so I totally relate to that.
With that in mind, we talked about this, and again, not to bring up the past, but you and I have crossed paths a bunch of times over the years, and it's almost like we grew up together. Like, you were just starting out in Guns, I was just starting out in radio, and every 5 or 10 years we check in, hey Slash, how you doing? How you doing? Everything's good. Years ago, we talked about bootlegging and how you collected bootlegs and was like all a big fan of that stuff. And now you've got an opportunity for the Slash shows, the live shows. You can actually get well-recorded versions of the shows. You've made those shows available online for people to get from the past couple of tours.
Yeah, we did this thing where we would have a mobile truck at the gig and record the gig and make it available that night as soon as the show was over. It was really cool.
Yeah. Just, which is the best show? Do you collect your own shows?
I don't even listen to them.
You don't?
I don't listen to anything I do once I've done it, and I don't read my anything having to do with me. I just try to avoid after it's done. Because there's nothing you can do about it at that point.
It's on its way out.
Move on.
Has anybody brought you a tape or a CD of a show that you didn't know you played? Not that you didn't know you played on, but you didn't remember playing that show or that song and stuff? Does that surprise you with the stuff people collect?
Vaguely, yeah. I mean, I sort of remember some stuff coming out. I was like, who is that? You know.
And they go, no, it's you, man. It's
yeah, right.
Well, I'm glad you're in here in town now. How long is the set tonight?
It's we're going to go on. This is important. We're going on 10 minutes early. We go on at 7:20 so we can have a full hour set.
You're going to do the full hour?
It goes by so quick.
The set consists of, obviously, material from the Slash solo record. Do you do any Snake Pit stuff?
There's a couple Snake Pit songs. There's a couple Velvet songs, a few Guns N' Roses songs. I do a lot of stuff off of Appetite.
And now you're doing other stuff. You do a lot of Appetite. We've heard Miles sing Rocket Queen, and he hit some notes that other people don't hit anymore, and it's pretty impressive.
It's Miles, cool. He's a gem, that guy. He blows my mind.
How cool is it? I mean, and it's got to be tough for you, because I'm sure everybody's saying, why don't you guys put something together permanently, you and Miles?
Well, after all this is done, at some point in the not-too-distant future, he and I are going to do a full record together.
A whole record?
But, I mean, I discovered him, at least for myself. You know, I know everybody else in the world knew who Miles was. But I discovered him making the record. I had two songs left over. The record was done. I had two songs that had been staring me in the face the whole time, and I could never figure out who was going to sing them. And I'd heard of Miles, but I'd never met him, and I wasn't real familiar with AltaBridge at the time. But I knew he could sing, and so I thought, let's just take a chance. Let's call that Miles guy.
That Miles guy.
And really, that's how it was. And so I sent him, he was amenable to it, so I sent him a piece of music, which he sent back with a vocal on it called Starlight. And I was like, wow. You know. And so we met in L.A., and we recorded the song. He's just a really cool, very down-to-earth, unassuming kind of guy, which, all things considered, is a stark contrast to what I'm used to. and then we went and did Back from Cali as well, and I asked him if he wanted to do this tour, just shot in the dark as well. And he said he happens to be on a break from AltaBridge, so cool.
Well, AltaBridge was in town here just like 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, he's working his ass off. I mean, he toured with me for 8 months, and he's out with AltaBridge. Now he's back with me for 4 months, and he's back with AltaBridge. Then he's back with me for 2 months.
Well, he's staying nice and busy then. Well, thanks for keeping him busy. Now, you're also doing other stuff outside of music. People don't know this. This is becoming a pretty common thing. Musicians now branching out into other forms of entertainment, new media entertainment stuff. You now are, everybody knows you're sort of a comic book guy, but you're also a horror film fan?
Well, I've been a hardcore horror film fan ever since I can remember. And someone offered me basically my own production company to do horror films. So I'm sort of piggybacking on a bigger production company, and I call my own shots making horror movies. And it's just something I tap into really easily. And it's just, it wasn't something I expected to do. They came to me because I just have this vast knowledge of horror movies, but no one knows that because I don't talk about it. But I happened to have a conversation with this guy from Scout Productions. He was like blown away about, you know, this sort of all-encompassing knowledge I have of horror movies.
So you're going to make like horror movies, or are you going to make slasher movies? Because there's a difference.
No,
there's
the
a
name
big
of
difference.
The company is Slasher, but the reason I'm getting into this is to bring back super scary, psychologically riveting, suspenseful, character-driven and story-driven horror movies, sort of akin to what was great in the 70s and some of the 80s and also in the 60s.
Scariest movie of all time?
Scariest movie of all. I don't know. The one that scared me the most probably was recently was The Strangers, which was Liv Tyler. that was an awesome movie. And nothing really, you didn't see anything until three quarters of the movie was done. But it was really, really well made. But back in the day, I think it was The Omen.
The Omen?
The original Omen.
Yeah, I think there's two people, there's two fights that will go on there. There'll be The Omen or The Exorcist. Those are the two big ones.
I love The Exorcist, but it didn't scare me.
Really?
Yeah, because I love that kind of stuff.
What do you think? The new Anthony Hopkins one looks good, though.
It looks like it could be good. You know, it's hard to say.
So will you write, direct, produce, or just sort of be the money guy?
Right now I'm just getting into producing. I do script development and casting and pick the director and just stick with it, and then I'll get into the scoring part of it. I'm 100% touring and recording musician, too, so I don't know if I have time to direct a movie. I don't even know if I have the chops to direct a movie. Producing is something I can do.
Look at you. This is the guy. Now, we started the whole interview off coming out of a Poison song. Can you imagine if things had gone different? Slash, thanks for taking time out, man. As we are at the Comerica Theater tonight, you go on 7:20, so you get a full hour set.
Yeah.
Miles Kennedy, lead vocals. Who else is in the band so the people, you know, they got to get credit?
Todd Kearns on bass. Todd Dammit Kearns on bass, as we call him. Brent Fitz on drums and Bobby Schneck on guitar.
There you go. So Slash's solo record, go out and pick that up. Now, can they still also buy the live shows? Will there be a live show for tonight available?
No, we haven't done that on this run. We'll see what happens. We've got another few months to go, so we'll see. These shows are short, so it doesn't really warrant going in and trying to record them all.
If people want to get information on what's going on with Slash these days, where do they go?
You go on slashonline.com.
Yeah, and you also have you're also pretty active on Facebook.
On Twitter, Facebook, all that.
Well, there you go, brother. Thank you for coming out again,
yeah,
man. It's always good to see you.
Yeah,
always
it's
good.
Rock tonight, so
it's going to be a good time, man. Slash opening up for Ozzy, and it's going to be tickets are available at the box office, brother. Thank you again for taking time. Please say hello to Miles and everybody for us.
All right, cool.
And blow the doors off this place tonight, would you please?
It's going to be kick ass. Us, me and Ozzy together is a perfect combo. It's great.
When are you guys going to do the jam? Everybody keeps talking about the potential jam.
We'll see what happens. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. Ozzy's got his gig down pat, and I don't sort of, you know, if he comes to me and goes, let's do this or do that, I'm there for him.
Yeah, because you're going to say no. Why would you say, you're going to say no to jamming with
it's
Ozzy?
It's up to him.
All right, may we continue broadcasting live. Slash, thanks for taking time out. It is 93.3 KDKB. Don't go anywhere.